So today we are going to get to a couple of very practical steps, things you can immediately start doing. But along the way, before we get to the couple practical steps, we are going to hear about some bowel movement jokes from Sly James, the mayor of Kansas City. We're going to hear or read a song that if Bing Crosby were here today and alive, I think would have to say, like, yep, that's the best Christmas song ever. And we're also going to look at money in a way that you probably never have before, or understand something about money that you haven't before. So we're going to hit a lot of random stuff, but we are going to get to some practical points. So please stick with me through all of that. And we're going to start the randomness off with a 21-foot-long cactus. So this is from Tucson, Arizona, and this was a gift from the city of Tucson. And so if you have been trying to find a unique gift, you can just cross 21-foot cactus off. It's already been done. Don't give that to anybody here in a couple days. Why would a city give a cactus to someone? Who do they give it to? Well, they gave it to Amazon, the company. And the reason was, about a year ago, maybe a little bit further than that, Amazon was taking applications from cities all over America saying, we're going to open a second headquarters. They've already got one, but they're going to open a second one. So all these different cities were stumbling over themselves trying to get to host Amazon. That's what they all wanted. Oh, please, please come to our city. So Tucson sent this giant cactus with some sort of, there's room for you to grow in Arizona or something like that. Birmingham, Alabama put up these giant Amazon packages all around their city. I don't know where they got cardboard that was that big, but they did. This one was the one I felt like was most extreme. So this town, Stonecrest, Georgia, is about 20 miles outside of Atlanta. More than 50,000 people live there, and their city council voted that if Amazon would move their headquarters there, or open a second headquarters there, that they would rename the city to Amazon. They would just rename it to Amazon. It would be Amazon, Georgia. So sorry if you live in Stonecrest and don't like Amazon, but anyways, that was their plan. Kansas City's mayor, Sly James, he made all these little videos and put them up where he would review Amazon products and try to sneak in, like, great stuff about Kansas City. So, like, this one, he is reviewing Fiber One and talking about how it helps get things moving and all these other, like, jokes on that level. And then talks about how Kansas City has Google Fiber Internet or something. And that keeps things moving. So it's just this cheesy stuff trying to say, please notice us, Amazon, and please, please, please come. We want to be the ones that get to host you. So all these cities did these crazy different things because Amazon's one of the biggest companies in the world. And it got me thinking, though, about this whole application process. And when God chose to come to Earth and come to a particular town, particular family, he wasn't like Amazon. He didn't put it out, say, apply to, who's the right town or the right family. But if he did apply, imagine what people would have done. What would cities have done to say, we're the best, you should come to us, and all the weird things we might have done. Or even on a family level, if you were going to say, Jesus, come to our family, what would people have done? And what would the credentials of people have been? I'm doctor and a lawyer, and I own an orphanage or something. People would have these like weird things about why I'm the most important person and why you should come to our family. And yesterday Bob was giving Kathy Verbrugge, I don't know if she's in the room somewhere, but getting pointed out, yeah, giving Kathy a hard time for being Saint Kathy is what he was saying. And she said, okay, Father Bob, and they were giving each other a hard time back and forth. But think of these amazing ladies that you've known, and there's a lot of them here. There's Kathy. There's a lot of them here at Maywood, and we know all these spectacular people. So why did God choose Mary? Because there's a lot of things that could look more impressive than what Mary had on any sort of resume that she would have done. So why did God pick Mary as the mom or the mother, the one to deliver Jesus into the world? So that's what we're going to be looking at today. And we're going to be looking at a specific thing that Mary said to try to get at an answer, okay? So this scene, it's a painting of a scene that the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 1. So Mary is probably a teenage mom. She's not married. And so she's living in a small town. Things are a lot more conservative then than they are today. And so she goes and lives with relatives, and she goes to her relative Elizabeth, and when they see each other, there's this incredibly happy greeting. There's no shame there. There's this joyful greeting. And Elizabeth prophesies over Mary and Mary's child. But then Mary gives this song, and whether she sang it or not, it's traditionally called a song. Whether it was spoken or not, we're not sure. But we're going to read that entire statement that Mary says, she's inspired to say. What I want you looking at as we read it is, what can we learn about this woman that God chose? Why did God choose her to work in this special way? So Mary starts off by saying, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." I want to stop there for a second. One, Mary says that, you know, this humble state, that God's noticed it. But I also want to point out this thing that God has been mindful of Mary. Mary grew up in a little tiny town in an unimportant country from the world's view at that point, in a country that had been taken over by some other big government. She was the gender that people didn't listen to in that time period. And she was the age that people didn't listen to. Everything about her is people would not have paid attention to Mary. But God paid attention to Mary. Wherever you're at today, whatever storm you're in, I want you to know that God sees you where you're at. We read on, Mary now says, "But from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." If you were downstairs in Sunday school, Nate and Marcus brought up an awesome example of fearing God as they talked about Elmer. But this idea that God is merciful to people who realize who God is, who realize, like, God, I need you. And I'm not okay on my own. It's not my best thinking. It's your best way that I'm going to go. God has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. So the song talks about God lifting Mary up, who's been humble, and doing great things through Mary. Then talks about some people that God is against. And here, the first description is that they're proud in their inmost thoughts. Now, some people look very proud on the outside. You know, they walk around like this or something. You know, they walk around all silly. Or whatever, you know, they dress fancy or whatever. And, you know, we judge them and say, like, oh, that person's so full of themselves. Some of those people have the most negative self-talk of anybody, you know, and they're very down on themselves. Some other people that we might think, like, they are such an awesome saint, and they are so generous and kind. You never know what's going on inside someone's head. And only you know about yourself. Is your self-talk, is it prideful about how you know best? About how other people should do things the way you think, about how you've been wronged and how you deserve more. Because here it says that God is scattering those people. Goes on further, says God's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. A lot of times we look to leaders and we say they're going to solve our problems. We even thank them when things go our way. But here it says that God chooses to lift up and to work through the humble, the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Something you'll notice if you read the entire Gospel of Luke, and if you read it with this idea, I can remember, this is a little side note the first service didn't get. I went to a third world country when I was 17, and I got to see real poverty for the first time. And the thing that clicked for me was that I was rich. I'd grown up thinking that rich meant that your dad had a boat, or that rich meant, you know, that, I don't know, all this big stuff, you know, the rich, I don't know. Anyways, doesn't matter. I grew up thinking I wasn't rich until I went and experienced what real poverty was. And then I started to read the Bible, when it would talk about rich people, I realized it's talking about me. It's talking about any average American family. If you read the Gospel of Luke, and when it talks about rich people, it will scare you, because there's a lot of statements like this. God, you know, rich people, we need some work, you know, and like we need God's help. And here the thing is, that we see in Western independence, there are a lot of people who are hungry. There are a lot of people who say, like, I can't make it on my own, and I'm empty, and I need more, and I need help. And the good news is that God is here to help you. If you're coming to him and saying, I need help, and I can't feed myself on my own, God's here to satisfy you. Verse 54, God has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So Mary, who her whole life, things have been pretty bad for her country, she's able to say, God is a God who fulfills his promises. I've got all this hope and faith in God. So that's Mary's song. It's incredible. Perhaps the best Christmas song ever. I do want us to jump back for a minute to Amazon. I kind of left that story undone. I talked about Amazon. Where did they decide to go? Well, they picked two major cities, and they did two more headquarters in Queens, New York, and Arlington, Virginia. And why did they pick those cities? One of the reasons they picked those cities is they got around $2 billion worth of tax stuff and different incentives to go to those places. And when you hear $2 billion, it doesn't really mean anything to you. But if you look up here at this little graph or a little chart, the 10,000 we've all seen in movies at least or something, maybe you've seen them in real life, of like a bunch of $100 bills with a little sticker like at the bank. So that's $10,000. $1 million is actually not that huge if you stack it in hundreds. I mean, it would just, you know, look smaller than a cat or something, you know. If somebody ever offers you $2 billion, I mentioned this to Shane Campy, he's like, whatever they offered, I don't want to do, you know, if they're going to pay me $2 billion for it. But if they do, don't take it in cash, because it's all these pallets. That's $2 billion. It's just weird. Like, those zeros don't really mean anything to us. But anyways, that doesn't really matter, other than this idea. And Amazon is no different than any other company. I'm not trying to spotlight Amazon than any other for-profit company. I mean, that's what they're about. So when they make decisions, they choose based on things like this. Where can we go that's going to help our bottom line the most? Now, why do they do that? Well, if Amazon just got really generous and said, we're going to go to Stonecrest, Georgia, or whatever, you don't even have to change your name, we're just going to come and give you guys some jobs in Georgia. There's some other company out there that try to get a competitive edge on them or whatever. Because here's the thing, we might think of Amazon as this big, powerful company, but all these companies are really cutthroat, scraping by. They don't have the strength, typically, to go do something generous. They're just struggling to stay ahead of all their competition. So they're making all these decisions, cutting these bottom lines. So when God chooses to go to Bethlehem, God does that because he doesn't need anything that New York or anywhere else could offer him. God doesn't come to us with need. He comes to us in generosity. So he's coming from a totally different perspective. That makes sense. So I do want us to point out and focus in today, though, on Mary. So Mary, the opposite of what Amazon was looking for, Mary is not flashy. She doesn't have great credentials. She's not rich. She can't offer huge tax incentives. There's nothing about her that looks good on that resume. So why did God choose Mary? I do think she had two things going for her that are very rare to have together. So I believe she had humility and greatness. I've got these kind of pieced together. Sorry about that slide. So over here, she's got humility. Talks about that in the song, the humble state of her, of God's servant. What does humility mean? You know, somebody who's not humble, they might hear that the toilet back there is clogged and they think like, oh, that's somebody else's job. That's beneath me to go fix that or something. Like, obviously that's not humble. So humility is this idea of not thinking too highly of yourself compared to other people, of not thinking everyone else is beneath you or something like that. But for a lot of people that have a strong sense of humility, they also have a low view of themselves. So while they may not look down on other people, they don't oftentimes think that very much is possible through them. Now, the other side of that spectrum over here, the greatness side, there's certainly people out there, if you told them, God is going to do something spectacular through you, God's going to do this big, amazing thing, and here's a microphone, and they would say, like, great. I know what everybody needs to do. You know, like, I got it all figured out. You know, like, I'm going to solve all the problems. Just listen. So that person believes God could do something great for them, but they're obviously not very humble. The thing about Mary is Mary had both of these together. She had this very humble state, but she also believed that God could do something great. Not just God can do something great over there with those people. God can do something great through me. And so as you think about that with Mary, I think that's the trait that drew God to work through Mary. She had this humility to allow him to shine, but she also had this faith to say, I believe God can do this through me. It takes a tremendous amount of faith to say, God is going to come physically through me into the world and change everything and save all of us. I mean, these are big statements. A lot of us, God wants to use us in some way, but we think, well, God can use somebody else. God can't use me to change that person at work, or God can't use me to do this or that thing. Think about Susan's testimony this morning. Susan starts training dogs, and she goes, I forget the shelter's name, but she goes to the shelter. They don't really have the space for her. If you were only humble, if Susan had only been humble, she would have said, well, I guess I can make the best of this backyard, and we'll do what we can with the dogs. But what did she do? She didn't do quite that. She went to a school where she didn't have all their credentials, but she said, I think we could do something much greater if you give me a chance. And she did it. And with those students, if she'd just been humble and said, like, I'm just going to try to get these kids not to punch each other, you know, like, that's all we're going to do, would have been humble. But she said, she learned from the kids and from the encouragement of the principal, something great could happen here. The kids could all learn how to do this. I could train them to actually become trainers. And so that great moment at Applebee's where you have all these kids who knows how they ended up at alternative school, but I'm sure whoever sent them to alternative school did not want to go to Applebee's with them, you know? But she has this great moment where they're there collected, and they've even got animals there with them collected. This is turning things upside down from how it normally works. It's a great thing. How did it happen? It's humility and greatness together. And so think about yourself right now. We're wrapping things up, okay? We're closing in. Where are you at on that spectrum? Do you naturally have a pretty humble attitude, but you don't really think God can work through you in a big way? Or do you naturally think you're going to do something big, but you don't value the other people around you enough, or you think too highly of yourself? Where are you at? So we've got these two practical steps for you today, okay? So one is humility. And I picked this picture. It's got this older guy and this younger girl. The reason I picked it, though, is because the guy has his mouth shut. And if you want to take a practical step towards humility, here's what I would advise you to do. Within the next week, pick somebody or find somebody who thinks totally opposite of you on something you care about. Ask them why do they think that. Not in an accusatory way, but like get into a conversation with them and just make it your goal to listen and understand why they think that. And force yourself not to explain why you're right or why you think this or why they're wrong. You might say, like, what does that do? Why does that matter? You're going to be suffocating your pride just a little bit when you listen and don't let yourself talk back. You can find, if you really, really think the Chiefs are the best ever, and you listen to somebody else about why they're not and why the Raiders are so noble, and you don't say anything, it's going to change your heart a little bit. And maybe you don't care about the Chiefs. Maybe for you, you talk to somebody about immigration policy, and they think totally different, and you've always thought, like, oh, those people are so evil and cruel or stupid or whatever that think this way. When you actually listen to them, it'll suffocate your pride a little bit if you don't talk back. So it's one step, but it's towards being more humble. Humbleness is somebody, a humble person is somebody God can use. What's our final step to talk about? This is our final slide, is the greatness. If you're here today, you struggle to believe that God can really do something through you, a very simple step for you to do, okay? We've got blue pens all in front of you, all around, hopefully. I don't know how many people took them in the first service. I told first service, you want to take a pen, it's not stealing, you know, if you want to do this. So if you don't have a pen, that's because somebody applied this lesson. But so take a pen and write on your hand. I've got a pen right here. You write on your hand, God can use me. So why do we write that on our hand? The thing is, sometimes you don't really believe that. If you really believe that God can use you today, not that he might use you 10 years from now, but he has something for you today, you write it down in the morning. And even better, if you pray and say, God, please use me today. Then throughout the day, you're going to see it, and it's going to remind you. I did this earlier in the week, so I get this picture. It's going to remind you, oh, yeah, I'm going to this thing. I was all busy and focused. Now I'm asking myself, does God want me to do something when I go talk to these people? Does God want to do something through me? Then at the end of the night, I want you to wash that off, okay? When you wash it off, think to yourself, did God use me today? And then the next morning, do this just for a week, okay? Then you can have your hand back, you know, like you don't have to keep writing yourself, but just for this week, write that on your hand, God can use me. And every day, wash it off and ask yourself, did he do it? Because the truth of the matter is God can use you. And a lot of times what's holding God back is your own lack of faith that God can use you. So this just opens the door a little bit to him. Now those are very small, practical things. If you have a better idea how to be more humble, how to open up to greatness, there are lots of other ways to do it. But the point today, as we're getting into the response time, Derek and Sienna are coming up, the point of the response time is very short. It's just to decide, do I want to be the type of person that God does something great through? That God saves other people by using me? That's the type of person Mary was. Jesus was able to work through Mary, and Jesus can work through you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you love us, that you have chosen us. Help us to be humble, and help us to have the faith that you can use us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.